Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and-feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage and day number 9 of testimony in the trial of Alex Murdaugh here on the 6th of February of 2023. Let's head into the courtroom for the beginning of the proceedings.
Ready to proceed? May proceed. I believe we're again here on in camera matters, and the state would call Mark Tinsley to the stand.
Raise your right hand and left hand on the Bible. Do you affirm the testimony about to give the court and this trial shall be the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Take a seat in the witness stand. State your name again for the record. Spell your last name.
Morning, Your Honor. My name is Mark Tinsley.
Mr. Tinsley, how are you doing today?
Good.
Very quickly, you understand, obviously, you're a lawyer. You understand we're here for some in-camera proceedings, so we're not going to go into every bit of background and detail that we would. Were you testifying before the jury? You understand that?
I do.
I do want to, though, kind of move through quickly some of the subject matter that the state proposes to put before the jury. But very quickly, if you would, just quickly tell us what you do for a living and what kind of practice that you have.
My name is Mark Tinsley. I practice law in Allendale. I have a fairly statewide practice, primarily personal injury plaintiff's work.
All right, and how long you been practicing in Allendale?
Since 2000, so 22, 23 years.
Do you have a statewide practice, or is it primarily?
To the extent I want it statewide. I mean, I handle cases statewide if I'm inclined to handle those.
Okay. Primarily focused in the 14th Circuit, is that fair?
14th and the 1st.
And the 1st. Okay. Do you know the defendant, Alec Murdoch?
I do.
And how did you get to know him?
He practiced law in the adjoining county. I had a number of cases with his firm, small bars in the two counties, and known him since shortly after I came to Allendale.
And do you know other lawyers in the what used to be known as PMPD firm?
All of them.
And are those individuals that you may have had cases with or just generally in the same line of work with over the years?
Yes.
I want to take you to February 19, and are you familiar with the boat case?
Unfortunately.
Okay. And do you represent the Beach family in the lawsuit related to the death of Miss Mallory Beach?
I do.
And ultimately, you ended up accepting that representation and filing suit against a number of defendants, including the criminal defendant here, Alec Murdoch.
Is that correct? I did.
Okay. Tell the court just very quickly who the defendants that you sued, at least initially, at when this case started.
Mr. Waters, my recollection is that I sued Alec Murdoch. I know I sued Luther's, which is a bar downtown in Beaufort. I sued the Woods, which was where the kids had gone for an oyster roast. I sued the Murdoch Family Trust, which owned the property where the boat was launched from, and we believe that there could have been some drinking that went on there. I'm not 100% certain in the first lawsuit if I sued Buster Murdoch, which is Alec's son, but I think those were the defendants initially.
Okay.
And maybe Randolph Murdoch personally as well.
Not long after you started the boat case well, let me ask you this. Did your client, Renee Beach, have any particular experience at the scene that informed how you were handling this particular case as you went forward?
She certainly had an experience that prompted the call to me.
Okay. And can you explain that to the court, please?
She wanted to go down to the bridge where the boat crash had occurred. I think this was either Monday or Tuesday, so the crash happens early Sunday morning. The scene's cordoned off, and she's told she can't go down there. And just a few minutes later, Alec's father and his wife pull up in a car, and they're waved under the tape, and they go down to the bridge. And she was very upset by that.
Okay. And did she, in your discussions with her, did she give you any particular instructions about proceeding forward in this particular case, as part and based on that experience?
No. Nobody really gives me instructions.
I understand. All right. Not long after you get involved in this case, did you have any chance to review and look at any insurance coverages that may be available to the defendant?
Sure. My recollection is within a week, certainly a 2-week kind of time frame after the boat crash, Danny Henderson, who was handling the boat crash as Alec's personal lawyer, brought me all of Alec's insurance policies. And so I reviewed them at that time before I filed the lawsuit.
And what was the purpose of you reviewing those policies?
You know, in a civil case, the only thing that we can do to try to, under the law, make a party whole is recover money damages. And oftentimes when we are drafting lawsuits, we will try to draft the initial lawsuit to make sure that there's insurance coverage. So that was the reason I wanted the coverage. And beyond that, sometimes, like I did with some of the initial defendants, you can, because of the circumstances, because of the culpability, how bad the liability is, how catastrophic the loss is. Many times insurance companies can be leveraged to pay their insurance out to get these people closure. No amount of money is gonna make them whole So the best that we can do is try to get them some closure and help them heal.
All right. And what did you determine as you looked at what coverages were available to Alec that potentially could be relevant to the boat crash?
Well, so there was $500,000 that Progressive had on the boat. It was a watercraft policy. Although I've never seen the policy, that insurance was offered almost immediately to all of the victims, not just the Beach family. There were two other girls on the boat and two other boys, and including Paul Murdoch. And so when I reviewed the policies, it was apparent to me that there was no possibility that any of the insurance that he had at the time of the boat crash would apply to this. And if there was a possibility, it would be limited to an idea that Alec was negligent in allowing Buster to give Paul his duplicate ID that he had made so Paul could purchase alcohol.
Did Alec have a policy, an umbrella policy with Nautilus at this point in time that was available?
He did not. He had...
And explain that to the court, why that was not available, please.
It appeared from review of the records that there was an open claim when the policy came up for renewal, and that open claim was the Satterfield matter, and that it was Nautilus and I think Lloyd's of London, and they would not renew the policy, and so he had to then seek other coverage, and what he ended up was with Philadelphia, and it was a commercial hunting operation policy that contained very broad watercraft exclusion. So they even barred a negligent entrustment claim as it related to a watercraft.
And that Philadelphia policy depended on Moselle being considered as a commercial hunting lodge. Is that correct?
Not only Moselle, but the occurrence, in other words, whatever it is that causes there to be coverage, had to arise out of a commercial operation, as I read the policy.
Realizing that as it related to Alec specifically, there was he essentially underinsured as it related to what the recovery you were seeking in this particular case?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And what was your ultimate goal, though, in seeking recovery as it related to Alec in this case?
Well, it changed over time. And I mean, initially, I believed that the case would settle. I didn't see how people could ignore the significance of the loss, the public support of the community for the Beach family, and then the hue and cry as it related to the liability and the Murdochs in particular. And so, you know, it changes over time, but the one consistency was to get the case resolved.
Okay. And did you make it clear to Alec's attorneys that you were seeking a personal recovery that he would have to pay as opposed to just accessing what insurance coverage was available?
Always.
And that was consistent all the way through, is that correct?
All the way through.
Were you making substantial demands to the defense that Alec pay a substantial recovery personally?
You know, I think by most standards, and I don't want to seem crass when I say this, but the Beach family stood on the causeway for 8 days while their daughter's body was in the water. I don't know that there's any amount of money that somebody would willingly take to go through what they've gone through. But if you were asking a lawyer who does civil work, was I making a substantial demand in terms of a settlement? I think that most people would say yes.
In your assessment, did that come as a bit of a, or did the defense express to you surprise that you were seeking a personal recovery from Alec rather than just simply trying to access what insurance coverage he had?
Yeah, some people did. John Tiller was primarily handling the case for Alec, and I didn't get that from John, but I got it from a lot of people.
In August of 2019, is there a particular conference that those in your line of work go to?
It used to be called the Trial Lawyers Conference. But yeah, it's in Hilton Head, and I went in 2019 of August.
Did you see the defendant there?
I did.
And did you have a conversation with him about the boat case?
I did.
All right. Can you relate that conversation to the court, please?
Yeah. I think, I'm not 100% certain that it was a fundraiser, either for Mr. Harpootlian or it was a fundraiser for Lindsey Graham. As you come into the hotel, there's a gathering area. It's in the evening before everyone goes to dinner, or it's immediately after. I'm not 100% certain. But the room's full of lawyers, and Alex sees me, and he comes across, and he gets up close in my face and says, "Hey, Bo, what's this I'm hearing about what you're saying? I thought we were friends." And I replied, "Alec, we are friends. If you don't think I can burn your house down and that I'm not doing everything and I'm not going to do everything, you're wrong. You need to settle this case."
Okay. And so what was the point of that conversation? What was, if you can explain to the court what y'all were talking about, what is Alec upset to as you understood it?
That he was going to have to pay was what he was hearing. That's what it was. That's what the point of it was. We're friends. I took it as he tried to intimidate me. He didn't intimidate me and sort of bully me into backing off.
Was there a mediation in September of 2019?
There was. No, 20. September of 20.
20. Before we get there, we move into early March of 2020, and we probably all know the answer to this, but what happened in March of 2020 that kind of changed the world?
COVID, court shut down.
And did that have an effect on slowing down things in the court systems?
It definitely stopped the court system. We continued to take some depositions, primarily law enforcement. It was at the scene early on, and then ultimately, when everything finally shut down, I'm not sure if it's May or April, when then, you know, we were sort of confined to our offices.
Did you, during the course of COVID, take the opportunity to sort of present the case to a mock jury to get an idea of how that jury might respond?
I did.
All right. And were the results very favorable for your client and not favorable for Alec?
They were.
Did you ultimately communicate that fact to the defense?
I did.
Had you come into possession of some social media videos that you believe would be very advantageous to proving your case and achieving a large recovery?
I did. And I shared those with John Tiller.
Get something marked real quick. Hold on. We'll show you what's been marked as Exhibit 401, State's Exhibit 401, and see if you recognize that document.
I did. I do.
All right. And what is that document?
It's a screenshot of text messages between myself and Tabor Vox. Tabor is assisting me in the boat crash case.
All right. Could you turn the screen to me real quick, please? All right, there's a reference here at the top. They damn sure aren't a placeholder or venue defendant, but they were hoping so. And then you respond about not walking, just taking 500K and not walking away from someone's judgment proof. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I'm sure the court is aware, but just very quickly, what's being said there about Alec not being just a placeholder or venue defendant?
Well, so there are a couple of things going on here. In October of 20, I filed a motion to compel. Alec said he was broke. He doesn't have any money. He may be able to cobble together some amount of money, but he's broke. And I didn't believe it. So I filed a motion to compel. And about a week after I'd filed that motion to compel, Danny Henderson, who again was Alec's personal lawyer, came to my partner, said he couldn't believe that we were going after Alec personally. it was a line in the sand that I'd crossed, a number of things like that. So that's what this conversation is about. And, you know, by November, this is, I think, November of 2020, the Beach family, they want accountability. They want a pound of flesh, and whatever that's going to be, it's only going to be through a jury or through a substantial settlement.
All right, well, let me back up, and we'll get to the motion to compel in a second. You mentioned that you had been told by the defense, essentially, that Alec had no money, correct?
He's broke.
Right. Did they say he could cobble together a certain amount?
Thought he could cobble together $1 million.
$1 million. And did you believe that that was accurate?
It couldn't have been.
All right, and why did you not believe that that was accurate?
Well, when you practice law, not necessarily with, meaning in the same case, but when you go to a roster meeting, if there were 50 cases on the roster in Hampton, Alec may have had 50 or 60 of those percent of those cases. And so they're actively being settled. I know that he's actively making money, and you just can't possibly be broke if you're making money, not the way he was making money. And then beyond that, I mean, my clients have known Alec and his family forever, and so their perspective is that there's generational wealth as well.
Did you, was $1 million going to be enough money from your client's perspective to settle this case?
It wasn't enough from my perspective. Okay. I can explain that if you want.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So one of the things that I didn't appreciate, that I came to appreciate by this point in time is that it may not make a whole lot of sense, but if I told a lawyer who does what I do that I'd settled the case, there's a lot of speculation because I've had cases with the firm and members of the firm or my friends that somehow there's a fix on. I think for a long time, Alec thought there was a fix on, that he was just a placeholder, a venue defendant.
Right.
And so if I told you I've settled the case, and then the next question would be, what did you settle it for? I said, well, I took the insurance company. If you knew what I know, and what plaintiff's lawyers know, you'd think, well, there was a fix. The only reason I would take it is because there was a fix. I didn't see a substantial difference between that number and $1 million. And so I thought that if you told 10 lawyers who were knowledgeable about these kinds of matters, I took $1 million from Alec, who from everyone's perspective has lots of money, is making piles of money, they would think that it was a fix. So before we even get to what's a fair amount, what should you take? You know, the analogy I use with my clients is it's kind of like that show Deal or No Deal. You may have the $1 million suitcase, or you may have a zero suitcase, but it's not until there's a significant enough offer that you could do worse that you should settle a case, any case. And so at $1 million, it just wasn't, there wasn't any risk to them that would prompt me to recommend them to take it.
Did you make any sort of formal or informal offer to them that involved the real property as well as any sort of payment plan?
When I was told that Alec was broke, I offered him a payment plan. Sometimes when you settle cases, medical malpractice cases, for instance, with the JUA, they will make payments. I offered for him to sign over Moselle and the Beach House, open his books to see that he was broke, and then work out a payment plan on the balance.
So when you say, okay, you say he's broke, I don't believe that. Show me the books to prove that. What was your response from the from Alec's defense?
Well, it was sort of stonewalling to begin with. I mean, ultimately, I got a formal response, which was an objection that prompted the motion to compel in October of 2020.
Let me get this marked real quick. Show you what's been marked as States 402. See if you recognize this document.
Yeah. So this is my motion to compel, which attaches Alec's responses to the interrogatories and requests for production.
All right. And when was this filed?
October 16th, 2020.
All right. All right, I'm going to put Exhibit B to this motion, your motion to compel, up on the screen and zooming in a little bit. And in part, was this the objection to one of your supplemental interrogatories about what you're talking about opening the books?
Correct.
All right. And if you would, tell me what your interrogatory was asking for in number one, please.
Well, in as broad a terms as...
Let's just read it real quick, if we could, please.
All right. List all checking and or savings accounts, including credit union accounts, certificates of deposit, 401k accounts, SEP accounts, IRA maintained by you, IRAs maintained by you individually and or jointly with any others, or any other accounts over which you had signature authority in any capacity, regardless of whether or not the account or accounts have been closed from February 2019 to present.
Right. And ultimately, what was the Alex Defense's response to that, generally? You don't have to read that, but just tell me.
It was overly broad, unduly burdensome, and irrelevant.
Okay. And so ultimately, you filed a motion to compel. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the idea was, if you say you're broke, show me the books, and they had refused to with the response to this interrogatory, as well as others. Is that correct?
Correct.
To your knowledge, when information was being gathered by the defendant in this particular case, who were his attorneys in the boat case, Alex's attorneys?
So his personal attorney, as I've said, was Danny Henderson, who is also a partner or shareholder with PMPED. Progressive had to hire John Tiller, and John Tiller was a lawyer out of Charleston. He was mainly involved. At one point, there was Amy Bauer, who was an associate working with John Tiller, and then Elliot Condon. Ultimately, I think Amy left in February of 21, and by then I think Elliot Condon had been hired and was assisting John Tiller.
Okay. And Mr. Henderson is a partner in PMPED that was also actively helping Alec or representing Alec in this case. Is that correct?
He was.
And he's the one that initially had brought you the insurance coverages for Alec to get you a chance to look at him and see what might be available, correct?
That's right.
As this motion to compel gets filed, what, if anything, happened with the sort of the communications between your side and the defense side as we moved into the months following the filing of that motion to compel? We all already saw the one text. What else is going on as well?
Well, there's a lot of grumbling and sort of shock that I'm actually going to hold Alec personally responsible. Not so much with me, but like I mentioned, about a week after this, Danny Henderson contacts my partner. There were a number of times when Tabor Vox was contacted. And so nobody says anything directly to me in terms of that regard, but that's what's going on. It was said to them because they knew it would then be told to me.
When we look at the particular interrogatory right here that you have filed a motion to compel on, and what are you trying to get? What information are you trying to get with that interrogatory?
Well, you know, the way to, again, like I in my example of the deal or no deal, I mean, what I'm trying to do is put pressure. He doesn't want me to have access to his accounts. At the time, I think it's because I'll see how much money he actually is making and how much he has. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to do is put pressure on him to force him into a settlement. You don't want it disclosed? Here are the keys to the jail. You enter into an agreement and let's go settle the case.
In the event, though, he doesn't settle in response to this, what information are you trying to get?
Well, it's certainly not a number. It's certainly not Alec's estimation of what his net value is. I wanted the accounts because I knew that the only way that he could be broke is that money had been hidden. And so I was going to look for and trace or begin that process of doing that.
All right, well, explain that to the court. When you say that you knew that if he was, quote, broke, in your estimation, money had been hidden, and so therefore you were going to look for and trace that information. What do you mean by that? Why did you think money had been hidden?
Well, there wasn't any way he could be broke. I mean, I know he's actively settling cases. Some cases, big cases. Some cases, small cases. But they stack up lots of cases. He's handling a lot of cases. So there's just no possibility that he could be broke by anyone's definition.
If ultimately, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, if ultimately you'd been successful in getting a list of the defendant's accounts, what would have been your next step once received?
Subpoenas.
Of those accounts?
To those institutions, yes.
Were you already aware that defendant had an account at the Bank of America?
I knew that he had a personal account with Bank of America. I knew he had an account with Palmetto State Bank. So I'm looking for the balance of accounts in terms of institutions and where else he had.
But you didn't know how many accounts or what those balances were or anything like that?
No, I had no idea. I knew he had multiple business entities. He had different LLCs. So I imagine there could be any combination of accounts out there, and some which would not have even been in his name.
After the motion to compel is filed, I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 403 and see if you recognize that document.
Yes.
Tell me what that is.
Again, it's a screenshot of text messages between Tabor Vox and myself.
All right. Let me put this up on the screen. All right, if you would, I've got this up on the screen. So can you tell me what's going on? And again, this is in April of 2021. Is that correct?
It is.
And tell me what's going on with this conversation right here and how it relates to these issues.
Yeah, so in August of 20, I found out I had cancer. And by November, I knew how bad it was. And so in January, I went to... I had stage 4 cancer, and I went to Florida from the end of January till April the 15th on my first round of treatment. So I'd just come back. Shortly before I was diagnosed with cancer, John Tiller was also diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And there's some degree of urgency between John Tiller and myself to finish this case. While I was in Florida, I think I failed to mention that Greg Parker's convenience store was also a defendant in the first case, but Greg Parker had done a number of things. And so before I leave, the issue is Greg Parker's moved to transfer venue to Beaufort County, which is where I had done the mock jury. The focus group was in Beaufort County. And, while I'm in Florida, things have changed in terms of what he's done that have changed my perspective, because when I left, I intended to go to Beaufort. By the time I get back, I think I'm staying in Hampton. And so this conversation is, for the first time, I've said that I'm going to leave the case in Hampton. But if I think... that Alec has fixed the jury, that he's done anything to affect the outcome of the trial, that I'm going to sue Paul and Maggie the next day in Beaufort.
And was that communicated to the defense?
Absolutely.
In the course of your investigation of this case, had you taken depositions of some of the officers who were involved in the investigation?
We did.
And at some point, was that some issues arose that were communicated to the state grand jury?
You're the one that tells me everything happens there is secret, so you tell me. But
I'm asking you today.
But yes.
Ultimately, and while you were in Florida in March and April of 2021, to your understanding, had the state grand jury reached out to you for information that you had uncovered in your investigation of the investigation into the boat crash?
Correct. And specifically the handling of the criminal investigation by law enforcement.
The investigation into the investigation.
Correct.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as states 404, 405, and 406 to your for this hearing, and see if you recognize those, please. Generally.
I do.
All right. And tell me what's going on here, please.
There were a number of motions pending in the boat crash case. They had been pending for some time. I mentioned one a moment ago, a motion to transfer venue. There were some motions to amend. And so Judge Hall had set those motions to be heard. My recollection is May the 10th, 2021. So I'm back now. I got a couple weeks to sort of get my wits about what's going on, and the motions are scheduled to be heard.
And that's May 11th, 2021?
It's either the 10th or my recollection is the 10th. I know the emails say something different, but in the week before, I don't know that John Tiller always knew how many chemotherapy treatments he was going to get or how long they were going to last until almost immediately before. So on or about May the 7th, John knew that the day of our hearing, his chemotherapy was going to run long and he wouldn't be done. And he had asked the judge to continue the motions, including the motion to compel.
All right. And looking at, again, we're now looking at states 405. What was the judge's initial response to Mr. Tiller's request to have that hearing continued based on his chemotherapy?
That we were going forward as scheduled, and that it says Mr. Condon, but it meant Ms. Condon would be able to handle it.
All right, looking at states 406, what happened after that?
Ultimately, what happened is, my recollection is, I sent another email to the judge expressing that I really didn't have, they were mainly my motions. Parker's had some motions, but that I didn't have a problem with continuing to accommodate Mr. Tiller. And the judge finally set a status conference for, maybe it was May the 11th.
All right. Just said that initially Judge Hall did not want to continue the May 2021 hearing, saying that there was another lawyer on for Alex's side that can handle it, correct?
Correct.
And then you kind of interceded and said that this would work, and so it was rescheduled. Is that correct?
After a status conference.
After the status conference, it was rescheduled at that status conference?
It was rescheduled to June 10th.
June 10th? All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as states 407 and states 408. And just quickly tell me if you generally recognize those documents.
I do. One is an email from John Tiller saying that the judge's law clerk said that the judge would be sending a message telling us that the hearing was going to be rescheduled to June 10th. The other is the email from the law clerk.
All right, so the hearing that was initially in May that Judge Hall did not want to reschedule was rescheduled for June 10th, 2021. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And ultimately, that would be to hear a number of things, but one of the most significant things would be your request for a list of all checking accounts from Alec, all identification of all accounts. Is that correct?
It is correct that motion was going to be heard.
And Ultimately, when the murders happen, I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 408. What happened to that particular hearing that was scheduled that week?
It was continued.
All right. And is that what's reflected in this email right here?
It is.
And then Exhibit 407?
It is.
After the murders happened, let me ask you this. You've known Alec and have worked with him for a number of cases, is that correct?
I had not worked with Alec in a number of cases, but I'd known him for a long time.
Okay, but you were generally familiar with him as a lawyer, is that right?
I was.
And what was your assessment of his skills as a plaintiff lawyer? What was he particularly good at?
He was particularly good at reading people, making people feel like they were the most important person in the room, and capitalizing on surprise with the defense. You have a case with Alec, he hasn't done anything, it's Monday morning of the roster, maybe you expect it to be continued, and he says, I'm ready for trial. And so he leveraged a lot of settlements that way.
All right. Was he good at understanding the emotional and sympathetic aspects of plaintiff's work and tort work that can be so crucial in defining what recoveries can be in these types of cases?
Yeah, I think he was particularly good at reading people and knowing what made people tick.
You've testified that you had made it very clear to the defense throughout this time period that you were seeking a substantial personal recovery from Alec and had been told, well, he's broke, which you then responded, I don't believe that. Show me the books, correct?
Correct.
And that was what was on the table for June 10th, 2021, correct?
Among other things,
but Among
yes.
other things. But that's on the table, correct?
Correct.
After the murders happened, did that have any effect on your assessment of the case against Alec, and particularly as it relates to the sympathies and the emotion of the case, which can be so important to recovery?
Yes.
Explain that to the court, then.
Well, initially, probably say the first week, there was the shock and horror of what had happened, and nobody really thought about anything other than that. But pretty quickly, I recognized that the case against Alec, if he were a victim of some vigilante, would in fact be over. It would be over.
And explain just quickly to the court why that's the case.
Well, you know, when you're asking for a money judgment, people have to be motivated to give you that money judgment. If you represent Attila the Hun versus some sweet old grandmother, nobody's going to give Attila the Hun money. They would give money to some sweet grandmother. So if Alec had been victimized by a vigilante, nobody would have brought a verdict back against Alec. And I had other defendants in the case, so I would have ended the case against Alec.
You would have ended the case against Alec with just...
You know, I certainly there was $500,000 in insurance that was offered. I may have tried to see if he could cobble together the $1 million, but whatever the last offer would have been from Alec's side, that would have been the offer that we took.
You had mentioned before that you had advised the defense of some of the mock jury presentations that you had done and some of the results from that and how they were very favorable to your case. Is that correct?
The defense and some of Alec's partners, yes.
And it's fair to say, though, that as you just stated, that if Alec had been the victim of some sort of vigilante, those sympathies would have entirely changed as it related to Alec and Paul as well. Is that correct?
Certainly.
And that's led to what your assessment then in the wake of these murders. Is that correct?
Correct.
At some point, Did you receive any call or any communication from the Satterfields about any recovery in the Gloria Satterfield death?
At some point, my recollection is it's early September of 21, Eric Harriet came to my office about that. There are a number of articles in the paper or the papers that are talking about this previous wrongful death case and wrongful death settlement, and he came to my office at that time.
All right, and did you send them to someone?
I sent him to Eric Bland.
Nothing further this time, Your Honor.
That's where we're going to wrap up segment number one of coverage in the trial of Alec Murtaugh today. Many more segments to come. Be sure to press subscribe and keep it right here.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Washablesofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Washablesofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.